We are four lines up from the bottom on Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah has established two opinions with regards to collecting debts from an idolater lifnei Yom Edom. The Chachamim's opinion in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph was that for 3 days before Yom Edom, you're not allowed to collect from an idolater. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that you are allowed to collect from an idolater lifnei Yom Edom, and he does not subscribe to the idea that afalpi shemeter achshav sameach hu la'achar zman. But now the Gemara presents a third opinion, that of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Says the Gemara, Masnisin delok Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, our Mishnah does not follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's opinion, detanya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha omir, milve bishtar, ein nifroin mehen, milve alpe, nifroin mehen, bibnei, shu kematzul miyadam. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha takes a middle approach between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. He says, with regards to a milva bishtar, with a loan, with a contract, the documented loan, that you are not allowed to collect from an idolater before Yom Edom, presumably even up to 3 days before Yom Edom. However, if it's a milva al peh, if it's a loan that was just agreed upon by word, then you are allowed to collect that debt because you're basically matzel miyadim, you're saving the money. If you wait, then you may not ever have the opportunity to collect it. You have to take advantage. Yasev Rabbi Yosef achorei d'Rab Abba, v'yasev Rabbi Abba kamei d'Rab Huna, v'yasev ka'amar, hilchasak Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, v'hilchasak Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba, who was sitting in front of Rabbi Abba, and who was sitting in, and Rav Huna was sitting in front of them, and Rav Huna was saying that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha in our situation, not like the two opinions of our Mishnah. He says Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha is correct, and then separately he also says the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. What are we talking about? The Gemara explains, Hilchasak Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehoshua ha-da'amrin. That, he stated, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. We understand that's coming. That's to the exclusion of the two opinions in our Mishnah. But ki Rabbi Yehuda, what's this idea that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? What are we even talking about? So it turns out we're talking about something nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. The Tanya, learning the brayse of the following: Hanosin Semer Latseva Litzboalo Adom Utzvo Shachor Shachor Utzvo Adom. If you give a dyer wool to dye red, and instead he dyes it black, black, and he dyes it red, what is the halacha? Now that he returns the wool to the owner with the wrong color, what happens? Rabbi Meir Omer, no sein lo d'mei tzmaro. Says Rabbi Meir, the dyer is required to give the value of the wool back to the original owner of the wool, which means then that the dyer keeps the wool. It almost sounds like even if the wool went up in value as a result of the dyeing process, nevertheless, the dyer keeps it because he was made the wrong color, which in essence, as Rashi explains, he was kona b'shinui. He essentially stole the wool, even though he didn't intend necessarily to steal it, but he stole the wool for all intents and for our purposes, and therefore he keeps it and he gives the value of the wool to the owner. And the way Rashi actually words it, which is interesting, if you look at the first line of Rashi, he says, Nosin lo tseva ze demet semer levan kibatchila im yirtze. If the dyer wishes, he can give the value of the wool to the owner, which implies that if the dyer does not wish to keep the dyed wool, he can actually force the owner of the wool to accept the wool as is. He's not even obligated to give the wool, to keep the wool for himself or give the value to the dyer. I would have thought the differently, but that's the implication from Rashi. But nevertheless, we mentioned that from Rav Huna that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in this matter? He says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im hashvach yeser al hayetziyah, nosin los hayetziyah, vim hayetziyah yeser al hashvach, nosin los hashvach. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the wool that was dyed the wrong color goes to back to the original owner. However, how much does the owner need to pay for the services of the dyer? He says, well, it depends. It's always the least amount possible. If the profit's greater than the expenses, then you only need to pay the dyer for the expenses. However, if the expenses are greater than the profits, he only has to pay the value of the profits. So now we've established the two opinions, and now we understand Rav Huna's statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha with regards to our Mishnah, and the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda with respect to a whole other topic. But back to the story, Hadrinu Rabbi Yosef le'ape. Rabbi Yosef sort of shook his head. He was upset. Why was he so upset? Bishleima halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Itzrich. I understand that why it was necessary for Rav Huna to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because Salka Daida Chamina Yechid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, because we would always follow the majority against the Yechid, and therefore we needed him to tell us Kamash Malan Halacha K'Yechid. Therefore we needed him to teach us that the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, the Chachamim's opinion, the first opinion that it's usher to do to collect from an idolater 3 days before Yom Eidam, whether it's a milveh bishtar or a milveh alpeh, is rabim, and therefore we needed to tell us that the halacha follows the yachid against the rabim. But ella halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda lamali pshita. Why do you need Rav Huna? Why do you need to tell us that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in this case? It's obvious that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in this case. Why? De machlokes v'achar kach stam hilchasa kistam. Now we have a principle, and when there is a machlokes in one area, but then later on, the same concept is brought up, but only one opinion is brought up, the halacha always then follows the stam. That stam reveals who the law follows from that earlier machlokes. And how so? How does that apply in this case of Rabbi Yehuda? Machlokes bebaba kama. Ustam bebaba metzia. In Baba Kama, there's a machlokes in Hagozel Eitzim about between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which we're quoting now. But in Baba Metzia, the halacha is stated clearly in favor of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Titznan kol hameshane yado ala tachtona. V'chalachoser bo yado ala tachtona. Anyone who changes something, they always have the underhand. They are always the one who has the higher obligation. So clearly then that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, that if you pay for the profits or do you pay for the expenses? It depends. Whichever one is lower, that's the one that you're going to pay. And therefore you see clearly in Baba Metzia, the halacha was stated in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The other question is, if it's obvious, so how does Rav Huna defend himself? Rav Huna, why was it necessary for you to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Huna, mishum de'ein seder le'mishnah. Says Rav Huna, I had to state it because ein seder le'mishnah. There isn't necessarily an order to the Mishnah. De'ika le'meimar, stam tana bereisha, v'yachar kach machlokes. Because you could say that maybe originally the statement was made by itself, and then only afterwards was the machlokas. How do you know that originally there was a machlokas about it, and only afterwards it was stated unequivocally? Maybe it was the opposite. Maybe it was first stated unequivocally, and then afterwards there was a machlokas. But then Rav Yosef says back to Rav Huna, that's a problem. Ihachi kol machlokas v'achar kach stam lema ein seder l'mishnah. But then you can never have a situation of a stam machlokas v'achar kach stam, because you can just claim that everything is out of order, and therefore that your proof is not a good proof. Says the Gemara, no. For Rav Huna kilo amrinan ein seder l'mishnah b'chada mesechta betray mesechta amrinan. Says Rav Huna, no, you don't say ein seder l'mishnah in one Masechta, when it's all in Gemara Baba Metzia, then, or all in Gemara Baba Kama, then we don't say Ein Seder L'Mishta. Everyone agrees that things could be that's in order. But Betrei Masechti, but when it's in different two Masechtas like Baba Kama and Baba Metzia, then it could be that Baba Metzia was stated first before Baba Kama, and that's why the Stam came first and the Machalokas came afterwards. And that's why, says Rav Huna, I had to say that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even though Rabbi Yosef agrees to that concept in principle, says Rabbi Yosef, Kula Nezikin Chara Masechtahi, even though Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, and Baba Basra are all considered separate Masechtos, nevertheless, we really view it as one long book, and therefore we would say the concept of Ein Seder L'Mishnah does not apply, and that's why they were bothered with Rav Huna, why was it necessary for him to state that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So that's answer, that's number one. The Gemara tries to come up with another reason or question to Rav Huna, why Rav Huna needed to state that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. V'yibayis ema, mishum diktanila, gabi hilchasa psiksa, kol mashana, yadu ala tachtona, v'chalachozer bo, yadu ala tachtona. You could say the rationale for Rav Huna stating that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, it's because it's very clear that the halacha was stated in Baba Metzia by hilchasa psiksa. It was clearly a halacha psuka that was stated. Why? Because the context there, as Rashi explains, was only about chazara. It was only about returning things. Nothing about shinui. Nothing about changing the status of an item. And by virtue of the fact that the Gemara had decided to mention something about changing the status, clearly it was stated as a halacha psuka, as though this is the obvious ruling, which is again in favor of Rabbi Yehuda. Point is, we follow Rabbi Shimon Karcha, and we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos does ask, with regards to the question of Machlokas V'Yachar Kach Stam, that clearly the halacha has to follow Rabbi Yehuda because it's a Machlokas and afterwards Stam, like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, hold on a second, there's a better reason to say why the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. It's because there's a Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and the rule is, whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Why did the Gemara not entertain that possibility? So says Tosfos, he says, Lakach nir lafarish delav mikoach stam boi lemifshut to lehavi halacha kistam. The emphasis is not only on the fact that it's a machlokas v'yachar kach stam, but rather it's because we have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, plus you have a stam afterwards, which is not attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore that means there are two opinions that say the same thing, going up against Rabbi Meir. So now, in addition to having Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, you also have a rove arguing for that position.